This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you. Again, this morning we're going to read from Genesis chapter 39, continuing with the story of Joseph. You'll remember that last time we had a parenthesis where we dealt with the issue of Judah and the way in which he had produced some children by a woman that was his daughter-in-law, and how those children had ended up in the, or at least one of those children had ended up in the lineage of the Lord. But that was sort of a parenthesis, and it shows that this family was not really all that quality, if we would say it, that they didn't have everything together. The family had their issues, their problems, but yet out of this family came a man by the name of Joseph. And when we look at Joseph, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at least as far as scripture is concerned, there is no charge leveled against him. Now, Judah, there was a charge leveled against him. That would have been the brother of Joseph. He had problems with morality. He had problems with seeing prostitutes, but not with Joseph. And we'll see that when we come down into this section. But again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And again, you can re-listen to this program on the website. And you can, of course, read my weekly meditation there as well. But now let's read from Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, whenever we go down into Egypt, we're looking at a person who is going into the world. Egypt is always a place we go down to. I suppose from the standpoint of a map, it's down from the standpoint of the Israelites, from the standpoint of the promised land, down and I guess you would say somewhat to the west, but it would be south of the promised land. So in that sense, we go down to Egypt. But there's a moral teaching here too as well, and that when we go to live in the world, that's not a place where a Christian is really at home. And yet the Bible does make it clear in John 17 that he's sending his disciples into the world, even though they are not of the world. And the Lord prays for us there because that's where we serve him. And we see that with regard to Joseph. He's a picture of a Christian in the New Testament who is faithfully serving the Lord, even when circumstances would seem that God has forgotten him and has forgotten the promises that had been made to him. So when we come to verse 2, there's a very important statement. The Lord was with Joseph. And we need to remember that, because the Lord was with Joseph in all of the circumstances that were against him. The Lord was with Joseph when he was sold to those Ishmaelites by his brothers. The Lord was with Joseph when his brothers hated him. And the Lord will be with Joseph through trials that we read about in this chapter. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. Now it's interesting that this Egyptian recognized the value of Joseph when the brothers did not. And the Egyptian would speak perhaps of the people that the Lord was able to successfully minister to while he was here on the earth. And often it was the Samaritan. It was the outcast. It was the person who was a leper. It was those that were not accepted by society that the Lord was able to minister to. And they, of course, had needs, and they saw value in the Lord. Well, this man, of course, was not a leper. He was a very rich man, and he was probably a very powerful man. But he also saw that Joseph was somebody he could depend on. It's good when you have a boss in this world who knows that if you do a good job, they get credit for it, and they get credit for your good job as well. And instead of being in competition with their employees, they use them to their advantage and give the employees the ability to reach their potential. It appears that this Egyptian was not a task delegator, but he was a responsibility delegator. And that's the kind of people we really prefer working for, even in this life. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." That is, she wanted him to be immoral with her. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. But there is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, obviously, if Joseph had submitted to the seduction of this woman, he would have been sinning against his master. But Joseph realized that sin was more than just a sin against humanity, because God had been with him, and he seemed to understand that God was orchestrating the events in his life, and he understood that God was holy, and he could not sin against God. If he had done what this woman wanted, she would have said he was just like everybody else that she knew. I suspect she was a very good-looking woman, and I'm just guessing, though I don't know, that Joseph wasn't the first man she had done this to, and I'm sure that nearly everyone else she had done it to, had she had tried to seduce, she had no problem seducing, but she could not seduce Joseph. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, now here it is, first she sins and now she lies to cover her sin, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it happened that when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me." So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. And so it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now, I've titled this little talk that no good deed goes unpunished. And isn't it true that we often make fun of that statement? But it is true that those who try to do right often are the ones who are attacked for the very right that they were trying to do. And I realize that we don't get to heaven by doing right, but doing right, it does give us a good conscience, and there is a moral compunction to do right in the life of one with character. And when we fail, of course, we know we still need God's forgiveness. We need that when it comes to being saved in the first place. We need it when we fail, and we need to confess our sins so that fellowship can be restored after we're saved. But notice that often the people who do right are the people who are most attacked by those who have no conscience. And that seems to be what happened in Joseph's case. So he was put in prison, but in prison the Lord was with Joseph. Notice again, the Lord was with him, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look unto anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here's another man who was not a task delegator. He was a responsibility delegator, and he saw value in Joseph that Joseph's brothers did not see, and that people who were living a worldly life would never see. But here's a jailer who, like Joseph's original boss, realized that if Joseph was being blessed by God, then he was being blessed by God as well. So Joseph was faithful as a servant, and he was faithful in prison. And as we look at this passage, we can see that the adversary was tempting, but Joseph knew that he would be sinning against God, and she lied to cover her wickedness. And isn't that the way it often is? And liars are good liars. I ask myself, if I had been the wife or the husband of this woman, who would I have believed? Now, in all honesty, it's hard for me to believe that this man didn't know that his husband, that his wife had the tendency to seduce other men. That's why I said I think she might have done it to others. But it's possible that Joseph was such a catch that this was the first time she was tempted. It's possible. And this may be the first time she went out of her way to seduce a man that was not her husband. But nevertheless, if you love your wife and you've got two people telling you stories, who are you going to believe? Well, from a natural standpoint, you can see that the husband of this woman, who was an evil woman, that the husband of that woman believed her rather than Joseph. And from a natural standpoint, we would understand that. But it's interesting that people work like that today. First, they flatter you. And then they will confront you. And then they will lie about you. And I've seen people do that time after time in my own life. First, flatter you, tell you how good you are, try to get you to do that which you should not do. And when you begin to question what they're asking you to do, then they confront you and make it clear that they are the people in authority and that they are the ones who can either make or break you in your work for the Lord, even, or in your professional life. And then after they confront you, they lie about you. And I have seen that happen time after time. They did that to the Lord. You know, although we sometimes have a difficult time finding where the scribes and the Pharisees really flattered the Lord, but they did confront him and they did lie about him. They brought false witnesses and he died at the cross. But this is the way people work, and we need to be wise in our dealings with people like this. But this was also that Joseph could be the effective ruler under Pharaoh in Egypt and could save his brethren. And the Lord died at the cross as a sinless substitute so he could be our Savior. And just as the brethren of Joseph ultimately had to submit to his authority, we can voluntarily today submit to the Lord's authority and have him as our Savior. And if we reject him, the day is going to come when we'll submit to his authority, but it will be an authority that will bring judgment and wrath upon us. So, friend, we need the Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Joseph, and we trust that you have trusted in him. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened today. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.